I'm Dodd Morris for Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Iran entered 2024 without an official budget. The people are struggling economically and angry with government leaders. Lana Silk with Transform Iran says they don't want to be lumped in with the decisions their government is making and even feel forgotten by the West. Some are questioning the validity of Islam itself. Transform Iran uses television, radio, and social media to reach seekers with the gospel. Nearly half of the 50 states in America have legalized recreational marijuana in recent years, and five more could do so in November. The Lighthouse's Brandon Bauer says even if cannabis is legal in your state, that doesn't make it safe to consume. The risk of substance abuse psychosis from cannabis is higher than from cocaine. Even so, roughly 18% of Americans used cannabis last year. If you're looking for a biblical approach to addiction recovery, connect with the Lighthouse at missionnews.org, the service of One Way Ministries.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running, commit liftoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to SWAT Radio here on April the 22nd as we come to you live from Jacksonville, Florida. I am David Gray in for Doug McCary today, and I am more than pleased to be joined by my good friend and SWAT brother, Craig Henderson, who's in for Brad Sykes. Hi,
hey,
Craig.
Hey, good afternoon, David. You know, I love doing this with you. Yeah. It's always fun to be able and have the privilege to be on the radio.
Yeah, great. Well, always great to have you, and for those of you who haven't listened for a while or who are new to SWAT Radio, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And the radio program, which has been on for a number of years now, is an outgrowth of SWAT Bible studies that have been around in the Jacksonville area for more than a dozen years, probably coming on 13 or 14 years now, led by Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. And the Bible studies are kind of an expository study of God's Word. We're in the book of Mark right now. And then the radio program grew out of the Bible studies. And on the radio program each week, we typically go through what we studied in the in-person Bible study, if you will, the week before. And we kind of spread it out a little bit over the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is usually a review of the text. Doug does a guest typically on Thursday, and then a lot of times Brad and I are here on Fridays to look at the same text, but from a little different format and viewpoint. So Craig is here today. I guess we could say you're filling in for Doug and I'm filling in for Brad, or some combination of one or the other, but glad you're here.
Between the two of us, we'll try to convey the message, God's word, and how we're doing, what's going on in the world a little bit. But
Well, a lot going on for sure. Doug gets on Brad and I for talking too much about golf, but we got to talk about golf a little bit because you and I both love it as well.
Yeah.
And another win for Scottie Scheffler, which is just amazing.
How about that? The TPC, the Masters last week. Boy, what a start for the season for him.
Yeah, and we were saying before we came on the air that you would think that maybe after winning the Masters, he would take this week off. It's a well-known but obviously smaller tournament called the RBC up at Hilton Head in South Carolina. But he played, and then you think, well, maybe he'll have a little letdown because of winning the Masters, and he goes out and wins comfortably.
Oh, yeah, he was well ahead before he even had to start this morning.
Yeah, right? He had a 5-shot lead. They had to come back out this morning because of a weather delay to play 3 holes, and he won again. And we did talk about this. I think Brad and Doug talked about it last week after he won the Masters. But unashamed of his faith, doesn't pound it on people, but certainly doesn't miss the opportunity to talk about Jesus.
Yeah, you know, as a fellow believer, it's encouraging to see, you know, how well he does and how he does, you know, is very open and transparent about who he is in Christ.
Yep.
And his relationship. And because that's not always the case with athletes that are as successful as he is.
Yeah, yeah. And I always like it too, the athletes who when they're talking about their faith, talk about it from the standpoint, it's the same whether I win or lose. Right. I always get a little nervous when somebody wins a big title or a championship and says, you know, they give credit to God, that which is great. I'm not downing that, but also the ones who follow up and give credit and glory even when they don't do as well. Right. And that's what Scheffler was getting at. If you haven't seen this video, I'd encourage you to find it, and it's on YouTube. Although maybe a video like this was in danger of getting deleted, right, from YouTube. But he was talking in his press conference about his mindset going into the final round of the Masters, and said he was with some friends that morning, and I assume he meant in some kind of devotional or Bible study, mm-hmm. and his friends were reminding him that no matter what happened on the course, his victory was already secured at the cross. And he was saying to his friends, what the reason that came up was, he was saying to his friends, apparently, I wish I didn't want to win so badly. And there's, but you know, yeah. if you're a professional golfer, there's nothing wrong with wanting to win. But he was admitting that maybe that pull to want to win was a little too strong. And sometimes, and it was his overriding concern, and they were reminding him, and he was, sounds like he really took that wisdom to heart and shared that in the press conference. That's a great video.
Well, it's also a good example of why it's important to be in community with other believers, you know, because we all see things from our own perspective, and having some brothers in Christ that are going to say, hey, you know, it's bigger. There's yeah. bigger things than this win.
That's right.
Just to put it in perspective for you. It doesn't yeah. change your desire to be victorious in whatever you're doing,
right.
but it does help balance that a little bit, absolutely. Having those other voices.
Yeah. And speaking of community... A good segue, right? You and I, we've talked about this before. Not only do we know each other from SWAT, but from a ministry called the Northeast Florida Great Banquet that we've both been involved with over the years. And we just had the spring men's and women's, but this past weekend, ending yesterday, was the men's spring Northeast Florida Great Banquet event number 63. So Mandarin Prez has hosted 63 Great Banquet weekends, which is really amazing. And what number did you go to?
Number one.
You were at the first one.
Yeah.
I thought so, but I wanted to make sure of that.
Well,
wow.
I think the important thing to realize is Mandarin Prez just lets the facility get used.
Correct.
Because there are people from all over the Southeast, this Northeast Florida area
yep.
that are parts and from all sorts of churches and stuff. And it's
right.
really... It's awesome because it's a broader community than just one church.
Right. It is. That's what we said. It's Northeast Florida Great Banquet is the organization.
Yeah.
But you were at the first one, so you've seen it from the beginning, and you must be amazed at what God's done through that ministry.
It's pretty humbling to think about 63 of them.
Mm.
You know, and that's it's just, well, I know what it did to my life,
yeah.
you know, and how much it impacted me.
Yeah.
And it's been great to, just for me personally, to stay involved. And as you know, I do work at the City Rescue Mission, and it's been a great partnership between the City Rescue Mission and the Great Banquet community, and having guys come from there, the City Rescue Mission, that are doing really well in the Life Builders program, and having a chance to attend
yeah.
is one that's it's highly coveted for them.
Highly coveted is a great term. I'm glad you used that, because they see it as a privilege to be there.
Well, it is.
And you know, I look back at my life and when I went, and I didn't go. I wouldn't classify it as kicking and screaming, but it, you know, my friend who was asking me to go, it took a few tries to get me there. And when I see the enthusiasm and the gratitude in the City Rescue Mission guys that go, you know, versus I was thrilled that I went after the fact. But I think that's the story of a lot of guys. And, of course, it's kind of funny when you hear that story from guys that have been about how they didn't want to go and had to be convinced or didn't realize it was going to, you know, you stay over there and sleep over and all that. And it's pretty funny. But just never – I was on the team this weekend. You were there serving at multiple things and attending some of the events. And just never fails that God shows up and really impacts the guests that go through that and the team members.
You know, I'm going to do a bit of an analogy. You know, whenever we get out of our regular lives, routine lives, whatever it is, and, you know, and get into something, frankly, we're a bit uncomfortable with, you know, and yet I think a lot of times that's when God shows up,
yeah.
you know, and when you begin to see him in really impactful ways in your life, and, you know, the noise of our world gets sort of put aside,
mm-hmm.
and you can really focus on what's eternal, what's important, and then look reflectively at yourself and like, wow, where am I investing myself?
Yeah.
And I think that this weekend gives men, and then the women's weekend as well, you know, the chance to really do that in a way that if you're going home at night or you're doing it, you know, for a couple hours at a time or something, it just doesn't happen with the same level of impact.
Right. One of the things we, you know, and everyone, every weekend is different. And, but one of the things that came out this weekend was the way God's grace and God's forgiveness not only reconciles us vertically to Him, but heals our relationships and allows us to be reconciled to each other. And just the brotherhood that develops, you know, on a weekend like this with the guys that are there, between guys that have been, you know, that are brand new to it and coming as a guest versus guys that have been around for a long time and serving on teams, by the end of the weekend, you feel like you've known these guys your whole life, and to see the transformation. And we don't, you know, this has come up before, you know, we don't say too many specifics about it, not to be secretive or not to be to hide things, but because part of the impact of it and part of the winsomeness of the weekend is to stay in the moment and not know too much about what's coming so that you're not missing what's in the moment. And so that when the great and special events that do happen over the weekend come, you are awed by them. And I don't want to use the word surprise, that's the wrong word, but you're not preoccupied beforehand. They kind of come on you in a way that heightens their impact, I guess is the best way I can say it. And seeing guests on Thursday night kind of with that look in their eye like, what did I get myself into? To Sunday afternoon when they have to leave and what the weekend has meant to them is really, really special. Really special.
Yeah, I like your point about, you know, not being able to look ahead. It, you know, that it's, I mean, how many of us, when we start our day, get up in the morning and you look at your calendars, like, what's scheduled for the day? And of course, then you're thinking about all the stuff that's ahead and how you, you know, how you prepare yourself for what's next or what have I got to get done before that. And in this situation, it is live in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you don't worry about it. You don't, none of those things are in your mind and you can really focus on what's happening right now.
Yeah. And you were mentioning community earlier and, you know, one of the things I spoke this weekend and, you know, my talk kind of weaved in my testimony a little bit. And one of the things I mentioned is that there was a time in my life where I just didn't want male Christian friends. I didn't want community because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I think I say in my talk that, you know, I certainly didn't want to be around guys that were pursuing holiness and pursuing God. And now, by God's grace and His love for us, you know, He has blessed me with more male friends through the Great Banquet organization, through SWAT, through my own home church and groups that I'm involved with there. And like I said, sometimes we, you know, it's for Bible study. Sometimes it's, we're doing the radio. Sometimes we're doing Great Banquet. And other times it's playing golf or meeting for a game. But the point is they love Jesus. They have wisdom and they're now my family. And, you know, it's just been such a huge blessing, and I don't know what I would do. And you're high on the list in that group. So,
well, I know it reminds me of one of the things that we tell guys at the City Rescue Mission and in the small group that we're in is that you know, the friends you make are the people you're going to become, and the guys you hang out with, especially when for those guys who are in recovery, if they go back to their neighborhoods,
right,
it's a problem.
Yeah,
you know, and so they're gonna. So I think that's right. You know, you build community with the kind of people that you want to be around and that bring, that point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, and will speak truth to your life.
I think it's Proverbs 13:20 that I used this weekend, and I used intentionally the Message version. Translation. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes, I might get it a little bit wrong, but essentially it says, become wise by hanging out with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. That's the translation. And I said, boy, that puts it as succinctly as it can be put. So anyway, we are going to take our first break of the day. We're going to come back and we're going to get into our text here in Mark chapter 6. Is it 6 or 7,
Craig?
Chapter 6. 7 through 13. And We'll look at that when we come back. If you want to call us with a comment or a question, we're at 844-777-7928. And we'll be right back on SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
91 FM, The Truth.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Craig Henderson, glad that you are with us as we come to you live here on Monday, the 22nd of April. Boy, the time is flying. We're going to be at the end of the SWAT semester before we know it. I think the last day is May 15th or somewhere in there, right?
Whatever that Thursday is, 15th or 16th.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, as we said earlier, normally we do a review of the text and Mark the first couple few days of the week. Doug has a guest on Thursday, and this week his guest will be Dr. Michael Riccardi, who is associate pastor at Grace Community Church, which I believe is John MacArthur's church, right, in Los Angeles, and he is a professor of theology at the Master's Seminary. And that'll be a good follow-up to the guest Doug had last Thursday, who was, if you haven't listened to this, please go to swatradio.com and give it a listen if you'd like. He had a guest by the name of James Coates, who is a pastor. He is the pastor at Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And he is the pastor that many of you may remember was imprisoned. It was actually in 2021. It's hard to believe it's been that long already, but he was imprisoned in Canada for essentially not complying with COVID and, you know, government lockdown requirements and what they were ordering his church to do. It's really a fascinating listen, and it's a worthwhile listen from the standpoint of, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that what happened like to James Coates and in other places with government overreach under COVID is just the tip of the iceberg, you know, that could be coming. And certainly the Bible warns us about that and talks about that. And essentially, without going into all the details, because I want to let you listen to it, but what Pastor Coates was saying is he essentially was arrested and kept in prison. He was originally arrested because he wouldn't comply with the quote-unquote public health order issued by the government that was basically reaching into the church and telling the church how to worship.
You can't, yeah. Mm.
And his point was, and he gave a great explanation, a great exposition, if you will, on Romans 13, which talks about us as citizens and as followers of Jesus being submissive to the government, because the government is ordained by God. And the government is an institution that God has put in place. But as Paul writes, to uphold God's good and to punish evildoers. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out, however, that that government as an institution ordained and instituted by God is under God, like God's sovereignty, like everything else. And that when they start to, they being government, start to reach into areas that belong to God, then that's when, as believers, we can and should resist if they're asking us to do something that God has said is not part of their role.
Right.
And I thought that was a really interesting take on it. And again, it seems like it was yesterday. It was 3 years ago now, but just we know that that's probably not the end of this issue.
Oh, yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the government wants to, quote, protect us, but many times it's protecting us from ourselves or from our relationships that are being built, like with God and stuff,
right,
and make us more reliant on the government for our needs rather than trusting God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had some interesting points. He said, when that happens, when the government gets into places not within its purpose and sphere of authority, that's where we are permitted to defy under God's law. But we have to be prepared to deal with the consequences. We are going to deal with consequences, just like what happened to him. But he was saying when the government started telling his church, you can't sing, you can't hug, you can't fellowship after the service, right? That's where he felt like they're reaching into the sphere of the church and usurping the headship of Christ. That's actually what he said. I thought that was a great quote. And I know that there are people who may disagree with that, and there may be circumstances that, you know, I'm not covering here. But in general, I think he's absolutely right. And I think that the way he explains it is really great. So if you get a chance to listen to it, please do.
I'm reminded of some of the texts we've recently been reading about what Jesus did on the Sabbath and how the rulers,
right,
that was offensive to them and eventually caused, you know, the crucifixion that changed the world.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
He was violating what the religious leaders who running the at least the Jewish portion of this,
right,
of his day, and
right,
what he was doing was in violation for what their rules were, yep, they were enforcing.
Well, I'm not doing justice to the way that Pastor Coates explained all this, and Doug asked him some great questions, and if you get a chance, it was just from last Thursday. I think Doug re-ran it on Friday because both Brad and I were out, and I think he re-ran it because he got so many comments on it from people who listened, so much positive feedback that he ran it again on Friday. So I think if you go to swatradio.com to the 18th or 19th, you'll find that podcast.
And awesome.
And essentially, in the end, the reason that he was kept in prison, and the story, I'll not get into this, but the story about the reaction of the guards and the prisoners in prison, he was there for 35 days, is worth the listen.
Wow.
Tremendous story about their reaction. And he was essentially put in prison because they were going to let him go on a bond or whatever, but he wouldn't sign the terms of the bond.
Yeah.
Because the terms of the bond basically said, okay, you're going to get out on bail, but if you go back to your church, you're in violation of the terms of your bail, and you'll get arrested again. And he said, well, I can't sign that because I'm going to go back.
Right, yeah, forcing him not to do it again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. So anyway, definitely go check that out if you get a chance. So, Craig, I know we want to get into our lesson for this week, which you actually taught this past week on my behalf. Well, I shouldn't say on my behalf, but in my place. I was scheduled, and you took that for our Thursday morning group this week because I was getting ready for Great Banquet. And I appreciate the fact that you did that, and certainly if anyone understands what it's like getting ready for the Great Banquet, it's you. And I've started referring to it as the storm before the calm.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, leading into the, once you get there, it's calm and great, but leading into it, it can be a challenge.
The evil one tries to throw all sorts of roadblocks in front of you.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and read the text, and then, that'll kind of get us closer to our break. And then as we come back, we'll start to get into the text. But it's Mark 6, 7 through 13, and then verses 30 through 32.
All right, starting in with verse 7, it says, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from it. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And then going to verse 30, as they come back, it says the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves.
Hmm.
This is the word of the God.
Yes. May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that. And I should have done this before you read, but just to, for context, last week, and by the way, Doug has called this lesson the first short-term mission trip.
That's right.
Which is a great title. But last week, in the beginning of Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, we saw that Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth to model for the disciples how to minister in the midst of rejection. Because he was, like you just read, he was about to send them out, knew they were going to experience rejection, told them to shake the dust off their feet.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, we talk about that. Anybody who's been on a mission trip, what happens ahead of time?
Mm.
You know, you go through some sort of training, some equipping, things like that. And for the last several weeks and the previous couple chapters in Mark, we really see Jesus modeling for his disciples. Frankly, what to, you know, the healing process and things like that were all going on. And then you're right, the last one right before he sends them out is going to Nazareth where he gets rejected.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he was modeling, if you will, as we saw last week, for the disciples, how to minister in the midst of rejection, like you just said. And then we saw a city full of unbelief and how unbelief responds to the truth. And kind of the main points from that lesson last week was unbelief, you know, responds to the truth by the fact that God reveals that unbelief ridicules and rejects God's divine evidence, that God reveals that unbelief mocks and maligns God's divine messenger, in this case, Jesus, of course. He's the only divine messenger other than the Spirit. And then that unbelief opposes and obstructs God's divine power. And we certainly saw that in that passage last week where when Jesus was in Nazareth, the first two verses, right? Many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? So they're ridiculing the direct evidence of his miracles, right?
Yeah.
And then, isn't this Mary's son? And I thought Doug made a great point. Well, you made it, or Nick made it when he taught this, was they didn't say Joseph's son, because the implication was, well, he was born when they weren't married, right? And isn't this Mary's son? They were basically saying, you know, who does this guy think he is? So their unbelief maligns and mocks God's divine messenger. And then it opposes and obstructs God's divine power. It's very interesting that it says at the end of that passage in verse 5, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
Interesting that that their unbelief
prevented.
Blocked. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to get into the text that Craig read as we come back from the break. We're going to take our break at the bottom of the hour here for the news. Our number is 844-777-7928 if you have a comment or a question. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back on SWAT Radio. Keep banging this mic.
Saren News. I'm John Scott. The Trump criminal trial got underway earlier in New York City with opening statements. The trial ending early, and the former president and all have been dismissed for the day. House passage of an aid package for Ukraine. Good news for the country's battlefield strategy against Russia.
Saturday's passage by the House of Representatives of a much-awaited $61 billion package for Ukraine puts the country a step closer to an infusion of new firepower that will be rushed to the front line to fight Moscow's latest attacks. But the clock is ticking. Russia's wishing to seize the momentum on the battlefield and force Kyiv's forces to cede tactically significant territory, one painful yard after another. In the meantime, Kyiv has no choice but to wait for replenishment. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Also at srnnews.com, the U.S. Supreme Court today taking up a challenge by Grants Pass, Oregon, that wants to ban homeless people from sleeping outdoors. More from correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The city was ordered by an appeals court to lift its ban, calling it cruel and unusual punishment to prohibit tent cities and sleeping on sidewalks if there isn't enough shelter space. But an attorney representing Grants Pass says growing homeless encampments are unhealthy and unsafe. Municipal leaders say court rulings prevent them from common sense solutions. But housing advocates worry cities would find it easier to arrest people instead of finding them places to live. A Supreme Court decision in the case is not expected until June. I'm Jackie Quinn.
On Wall Street, the Dow was ahead 325 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index up 172. This is SRN News.
To succeed as a Christian, you must give significant time to developing your spiritual skills.
Lonnie Berger, author of Every Man a Warrior.
When I taught my daughters how to drive, we spent hours behind the wheel. First in parking lots, then quiet neighborhoods, and finally on the interstate. You just can't learn how to drive a car unless you get behind the wheel. The Christian life is like that. Skills have to be learned so that you can experience walking with God. Learning how to have a daily time alone with God is the most important skill we learn as a Christian. Like driving a car, most of us need someone to show us how to develop this quiet time skill and then to encourage us as we grow in this new lifelong habit.
If you'd like to learn more, go to everymanawarrior.com.
No active accidents, but there is a broken down vehicle on I-95 northbound before Bay Meadows Road. Also, there's congestion on I-95 northbound from Butler Boulevard to before Atlantic Boulevard, and congestion on the East Beltway, 295 southbound near Merrill Road. Mostly clear tonight, low 55. Tuesday, sunny, high 73. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Craig Henderson, glad that you are with us, and glad that two special guests are with us. Just got a text from my good friend and longtime SWAT guy, Jay Rogers, and his wife, Lee, who are on a little bit of an extended vacation. Lee is in playing the role of Clark Griswold, driving around the country with Lee, and he just texted me that they're listening to us while they're driving through Kansas.
Wow.
So,
how awesome is that?
They must be. I'm assuming that they're listening on SWATradio.com or on the app, but love you guys and hope you're having a great trip, and see you soon. Have safe travels and continuing to pray for both of you. So glad you're listening. And, you know, Craig, I mentioned when we were in the first break that I was going to do this, and I didn't, but we were talking about both our involvement in the Great Banquet Ministry. If you ever have any interest in that or questions about it, first of all, there's a website, nefgb.org, nefgbanquet.com for North Florida, Northeast Florida Great Banquet, but it's nefgb.com. And you can always send a note to ask@swatradio.com if you'd ever like to find out more about it. And Doug can pass that along to Craig or I, and we'd be happy to get back with you. So, Craig, before the break, we read the text, which is Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, and then verses 30 through 32. We did a little bit of review about Jesus going back to Nazareth in the previous verses, and we were talking about how Doug has titled this lesson the first short-term mission trip, because it's when Jesus first sends out the disciples two by two.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting, you know, when you think about who these guys were, you know. They weren't trained. They weren't educated. You know, they weren't priests or Pharisees or scribes or anything like that. They were just ordinary people, mm-hmm. like you and me, or anybody that's maybe listening on the radio. You know, it wasn't like they came in equipped and you know, with all the theological training to feel like they could be successful at this.
Right.
And they were just following the model of Jesus through this whole thing.
And you wonder, honestly, what their inner reactions were. When they were first told, excuse me,
yeah.
We're going to go out without you. It's one thing to go out with you and we have your, you know, protection and you're doing miracles and you're God and you're, you know, protecting us. But now we have to go out on our own. And it's like this is a bad analogy, but think about any guy can relate to this, right? You're at some Bible study or seminar or whatever it is. And you're just sitting there listening to the speaker and taking notes. And then all of a sudden the speaker says, we're going to pair off into small groups.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some discussion and we're going to answer some questions. And then you're going to present, you know, to the larger group. And, most guys' initial reaction to that is, oh, no.
That's a great analogy, because that's right. The first thing I'm thinking is like, what?
Yeah.
What's what I signed up for?
Yeah. What do we have to do? So anyway, but yeah, he sent them out and I'm sure that some of the reaction was less than enthusiastic.
Well, it's interesting. You know, he sent them out two by two, you know, and I think one of the reasoning there that we talked about is that, you know, by two, you have testimony of, you know, that one validates the testimony of other versus yep. and it's kind of a legal thing,
yes.
You know, that in that time. So
right.
That there's validation by what one is saying versus and the other together.
Right. That's right.
And of course, what are they teaching? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
We've used that word euangelion, which I've now become very familiar with in the study of Mark.
That's right. That's right. Euangelion, which would have had a different meaning to the folks of that era and that culture than just good news. It had more to do with, like we've talked about, it was a Greek word, but mostly used in the Roman world culture, mostly, I guess, to refer to the emperor when there was a new emperor born or a new emperor crowned or a major victory in battle won by the new emperor. The term euangelion was used, and the people of that time would have known that when a messenger was referring to euangelion, that they would be expected to be loyal subjects under the rule and reign of that new king. And so using it in that context, the gospel becomes, as we've talked about so much over the past year, much bigger than just Jesus died for our sins so we can go to heaven. That's certainly a big important part of the gospel, but it's not the whole picture. He did what he did. He died. He lived a perfect life. He died as a perfectly acceptable sacrifice to the Father so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be declared righteous in God's sight by the righteousness of Jesus, so that we can become fit and loyal subjects of the King.
Right.
And move under the rule, from self-rule under his rule. So,
yeah, I think it's one of the important things, that it is, it's about our changed lives, right?
That's right.
The euangelion talks about it's like you say, it's embracing a life under the rule and reign of Jesus, which means he is my Lord and not just the one who, not my healer, not just my healer, I guess.
That's right.
Is wrong, but he's my Lord. And that means that I have a change of mind.
Yeah.
You know, how do I think about things?
And over the years, I think that's been the thing that really convicted me in my life. The Spirit used that to, and again, I don't claim perfection over this in any way. It's still a work in progress, but that was my life really different because I was following Jesus? Was we all love the idea that he's our Savior. Mm-hmm. We all want our sins forgiven. We all want to avoid God's anger and wrath and avoid hell. But are we willing to also follow, lay down ourselves, give up our self-rule and follow him? And as Doug always says, not perfectly. We'll never be capable of following him perfectly. But are we moving in that direction? Are we being sanctified? And the changed life doesn't merit our salvation. It's, as our pastor likes to say, it's not meritorious for salvation, but it's evidence
right.
of what God's done on the inside. And when we don't do that, when we think we just want him as Savior, and so we have fire insurance, cheap grace, you know, to coin Dietrich that's Bonhoeffer, right. it's really cheapening God's grace. And but that's really where the battle is, to give up our rule and come under his.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's all sorts of things that, you know, I mean, whether it's time, whether it's my hobbies, whatever that I want to do, and yet God, am I willing to submit to what God's calling me to do? And that's the hard part. It really is.
That's right.
And that's part of the change of heart that follows. You know, it's agreeing with God there's evilness and self-rule in my life, and that our sin can be overwhelming for us. And
that's right. And it's interesting that when he sent them out, that first point to proclaim the euangelion, right? I know that there's a Greek word that you can probably explain better than me, right? That is it, caruso?
Caruso, yeah, that's right. Yeah, this story is both in Matthew and in Luke as well, and Luke uses the word caruso, which is a Greek word for proclaim or preach, but it's more than just like preaching like you hear at Sunday morning. It's a sense of urgency that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if my child's out playing in the front yard and I'm like, don't go out in the street, and then all of a sudden they go out in the street and there's a car coming, my sense of urgency changes, right? All of a sudden I'm yelling at them to get out of the street.
That's right.
And the seriousness of what the consequences could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the understanding the serious consequences of what they were trying to, of people help people avoid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The consequences of unbelief, like we looked about at last week, right. That there has to be a sense of urgency to the preaching. This is not, hey, take this if you want to.
Yeah, but that's right.
Listen, you know, it's like when Jesus says, you know, leads off by saying, truly, truly, truly. He says it three times. That means pay attention.
Because it is, because the consequences are life-threatening.
That's really. Right. That's right. Life and death for sure.
Yeah.
So, and I know, there was a sense of urgency to it. And also in verse 12, right, is it verse 12? Did I get that right?
Yeah, about repentance.
Yeah, that they were to preach repentance, right? And again, we've said it a little bit, but embracing the rule and reign of Jesus over our life. And I know you did a great job of explaining, and we've talked about this a few times, but you reviewed that last week about what repentance is and what it isn't.
Yeah, it's not just like, I mean, it is really giving in to the sovereign God and not just, I'm going in a different direction. It's not that. It is the complete change of my heart and the willingness to submit to the rule and reign of Jesus in my life, which I'm not perfect at all. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a goal, you know, and with God's help, you gradually, I get it right sometimes, hopefully more times than not,
right.
but it is a complete change of heart
and
a change of direction in how I live my life.
Right. I like the expression. It's that traveling of the understanding of, you know, when God gives us understanding of our sin and our need for Jesus, he allows that information to move 18 inches, from our head to our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a metaphor. Obviously he gets that information and our heart being what makes us us, right? All of us, but it causes an action. It doesn't, it's not just a mental ascent like the demons have, But it's an understanding mentally or in our minds of who Jesus is and what our condition is and our need for him. But then it's something that pervades our whole being and causes an action known right. as repentance, which is an action word. That description of it, that it's an action word. So, well, we are going to take our last break of the day. As usually, the time flies as we're having fun here on SWAT Radio. Give us a call at 844-777-7928 if you have a comment or a question. Craig and I would love to hear from you, and we will be right back after this break on SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Craig Henderson. Happy that you are with us as we wrap up the day here on SWAT Radio with our last segment. We're talking about Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13, and then verses 30 to 32. When Jesus sends out the disciples on their two-by-two, as Craig was explaining, on their first mission trip. And we're on the kind of the first point of that passage about that they were sent out to proclaim the euangelion, to proclaim the good news that Jesus, that God's kingdom is here, and that Jesus is the king of the kingdom, and they were to proclaim as part of that euangelion repentance, and also eventually belief in Jesus, belief in the gospel, and inviting people to follow Jesus. But we're talking about what it means to proclaim the euangelion. And by the way, before I even get back to that, I was just talking to Craig about this right before we came back on, and I already forgot it in 30 seconds. But a good friend of ours, a SWAT brother, many of you who are listening will recognize the name of Rod Cherry. Rod is not doing well and is in the hospital, and would ask your prayers for him. Rod is one of the oldest survivors of the disease of spina bifida. Rod is in his late 60s, if not 70 at this point, and just an amazing guy, an amazing story, somebody who has been confined to a wheelchair for his whole life, but lived independently for many, many years. drove his own vehicle, affectionately known as Sweet Tea. That's what he would call his car. And had an unbelievably ingenious way of kind of getting in and out of the car and pulling his own wheelchair into the back of the car. Just an incredible guy, a guy that loves Jesus, a guy that has inspired a lot of his friends to quit complaining. You see Rod and see his attitude, and not that he hasn't had struggles, and he's been a good friend to me. We've talked about a lot of things, but just a guy that in the face of real physical challenges and adversity has been a great inspiration and an example of someone who loves Jesus and who knows that all of this is temporary. I don't want to say, I almost said jokingly, it's not jokingly because it's real. We've lightheartedly made appointments that he and I are going to go on a long hike in heaven.
Yeah. What a great guy. Yeah. What an inspiration.
He really is.
For anybody who has known him.
Yeah.
Amazing guy.
He's had infection issues, and he is in the hospital, so would really appreciate it if you keep him in your prayers. So anyway, Craig, before the break, we were talking about the disciples proclaiming the euangelion and specifically about the fact that they were to proclaim it urgently and that they were to preach repentance. And we started talking about what repentance is and what it isn't, and that it really is an action word.
Yes, it is. And it requires us to change, and it's the change in direction, the change in heart, the change in mind. And it's interesting. I think one of the things we talked about was the fact that the religious leaders of the time were offended by that because they considered themselves good people. They were religious. They followed the rules.
Yep.
And yet that's not what repentance means. That's not at all what repentance means.
Yeah. And you pointed out that they were offended also because, right, they didn't think they had anything to repent of.
Right, yeah.
They thought that we're the chosen people. The Gentiles have stuff to repent of.
The pagans are the ones, that's right.
But we don't have anything to repent of. And, boy, isn't that still true today? And that's, you know, we were talking earlier about the Great Banquet and seeing guys that are so grateful to be there, and they have a thirst and a hunger for God, and they understand their condition and their need for repentance.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And sometimes, and I heard a great sermon on this a couple months ago, sometimes the biggest obstacle to repentance is moralism, or people who think they're morally good. And
I'm better than those other people.
Exactly.
There, right? That's exactly right. Yeah. And frankly, there's a lot of that in the church.
And I know you would say the same thing about yourself. It can creep into our own lives. And
very true.
You know, one of the things I talked about this weekend when I had the privilege to be able to speak over there is that repentance is not only turning away from sin, but it's turning to God. And one of the things, again, I included in my talk was that in Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells that story about an unclean spirit coming out of a man, and the man, if you will, cleaning house. But the idea is that he is not replacing in his own spirit the unclean spirit with Jesus.
Right.
And with the Holy Spirit. And he's basically trying to replace the unclean spirit with moral reformation or his own strength. I'm going to do better. I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. And the idea is that this, you know, our attempts at moral reformation, apart from the transformation of our heart that only Jesus can bring, result in what Jesus said happens at the end of that. Seven spirits move back in, unclean spirits, and the man is worse off than he was to begin with.
That's so true.
And so I just was thinking of that earlier, that repentance is, it's turning away from sin, but it's not moral reformation. It's saying to God, I can't do this.
That's the surrender part, right?
Exactly.
You got to surrender and have him come in.
That's right.
And be the one who runs what's going on in your life.
That's right. Yep. And I've proven that in my own life. That's part of my story, is that I've made many self-reliant attempts at becoming more moral, and I wind up worse off, you know, than I was to begin with. And so that you know, obviously being moral is not a bad thing. The Ten Commandments would urge us to be moral, if you will, in that sense.
That's right.
But we can only become more obedient to the Ten Commandments by God changing us.
It's almost like the New Year's resolution.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to make a resolution. So next year I'm going to whatever, name it, you know?
Yep. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to follow this program. I'm going to get up at this hour. I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And of course, these are all quotes from my own mind, by the way. but they never last apart from just being with God, being obedient to him by being with him with no other agenda than to just say, I want to know you and I want you to change me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then just going from there, you know? So
that's right.
Anyway, I know there's a couple of verses that we were talking about this week. Let me read this first passage from 2 Peter 1:16-18. And this has to do with the disciples going out as witnesses, as bold witnesses, being bold and urgent. That's a lesson for us here, right? That we are to be bold and urgent in our witness. And 2 Peter 1:16-18 says, chapter 1:16-18, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. This idea that there is no doubt about who Jesus is. And these witnesses, you know, you talked earlier about sending out two by two so that they could meet the legal requirement of witnesses.
Right.
Well, this says right here, they were witnesses of all of this, that God affirmed as part of, that's part of the euangelion, God coronated him as king. And then 1 John 1:1-4 says, familiar to many, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with us, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us, that we, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Amen.
That's, I was going to say, that's great, because it really is, it's a call for us to share. It's a call for us to go out, you know, and it's not that we have to go out with something that we're creating. It's just like you did this weekend, it's tell your story.
And tell the truth of what Scripture teaches.
That's right. Yeah. Tell what God's done in your life and stuff. And all too often, you know, it's easy to hear a good sermon and think, wow, that was really great.
The pastor was on today. He was bringing it.
And then go home and nothing changes.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Well, I know you had a great analogy about.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead
with
that.
Well, I was going to say, in Israel, there's two great bodies of water. One is the Sea of Galilee, and the other is the Dead Sea. And the difference between the two is the Dead Sea, something comes in, but nothing goes out.
That's right.
And we're called not to be Dead Sea people. We're called to be people that are conduits. Not
right.
Collectors, conduits, to share with others what God has done in us and what the Word says.
Let the euangelion, like Brad always says, it should go through us and then come out of us.
That's right.
Like the Sea of Galilee, right? The water comes in and it flows out into the Jordan River. And so that's a great, great analogy. So, Craig, great to be here with you today. Thanks for filling in. And like I said, Brad and Doug will be back tomorrow. And I hope you'll join us the rest of the week on SWAT Radio. We always appreciate you listening. Craig, have a great rest of the day.
David, thank you. Enjoyed being here.